Thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio. On RNIB Connect Radio.
Hey, you're listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour-long show. If you're enjoying all the songs, along with the interviews, tips and chat, just catch the full show on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on every Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. But for now, enjoy the Happy Hour podcast. Paul and the gang and celebration on RNIB Connect Radio. You're listening to the Happy Hour with Holly Tuke and my co-host Paulina. We'll be keeping you company for the next hour. And this week's show is all about the Platinum Jubilee celebrations. So we'll have lots of great party songs to inspire your playlist for this long weekend. And we'll also have lots of great interviews. Paulina, what's on the menu for today?
Well, we're going to hear from one lady about attending a big birthday lunch for Her Majesty the Queen in 2016 and meeting the royal family. We'll chat benefits of tea, hear from Paralympian Laura Fackey, who will actually chat all things party food for this weekend because she has a food blog. We'll also have some tips for managing anxiety for anyone a bit nervous around big gatherings, or perhaps you're just a little bit stressed about all the party planning.
So a long list for today, plus some random chat and that celebratory music we promised. And what's more perfect for the Platinum Jubilee than Queen? Here's Don't Stop Me Now.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. With the Queen's Platinum Jubilee celebrations taking place across the UK this weekend, we are joined now by RNIB volunteer Padma Cherian, who had the pleasure of attending a very special event in celebration of Her Majesty the Queen a few years ago. And she joins me now to tell us all about it. It's so lovely to have you here, Padma.
Thank you.
Now, let's head down a little bit down memory lane to 2016. You attended a very special birthday lunch, didn't you?
It was indeed. It was a great honor for me personally, and it was a great pleasure.
So the event you attended, that was, if I remember correctly, Her Majesty the Queen's 90th birthday, wasn't it?
Birthday, that's right, yes. It was in London, and on the mall, they erected a huge big marquee, and everybody, all the charities Her Majesty was patron of, were invited to send a representative. And I represented RNIB. That was a great honor. I think personally, Her Majesty the Queen has been a great source of inspiration for my personal life. I think the way she has handled different crises in her family as well as in the country is something, a model we have to emulate, I think.
I'm curious. So would you mind telling us how did it feel to be chosen to represent the RNIB, and why you were chosen? Because I imagine it wasn't without a reason. You have done some amazing work throughout the years.
Thank you. Thank you. That is kind of you. Well, RNIB have thousands of volunteers doing great work. And I think because, to be honest, I think because I have been pretty vocal. I make a lot of noise because I'm a campaign coordinator in Milton Keynes, you see, volunteer campaign coordinator. And as a campaigner, it is my job to be noticed and to make noise about something that I don't think is right. I mean, I have been with RNIB volunteering for 13 years now, and it has nothing but pure joy for me. It has been so great, especially because I have been volunteering for a number of, most of my adult life, really. And since I lost my sight, that was, 1996, I lost my job with my loss of sight and lost my driving license. I was drawn in the dumps. And the local charities were not really helpful at all. I worked so hard to do volunteering for the local charities, but there was no encouragement. And RNIB were so good that they really put confidence in me. And that's why I feel probably I was chosen, because I have done some work and I have won some notable campaigns locally. And I have participated in as many activities RNIB provide as possible. Probably that's why I was chosen. And on that day, sadly, it was a showery day, but I went to London, and it was a great honor to be accompanied by CEO and another fundraising manager and one more volunteer with me. And there were four of us. And it was great. And after the lunch, Queen's family, all of them walked down the mall and shook hands with us. It was a great experience, yes. I have to say it is something I remember for the rest of my life.
Did you by any chance have an opportunity to see the Queen herself? Or
No, sadly not, because she was too far away for us. With my sight, even if I was close, I couldn't have seen her. So, but her family, Princess Anne, her husband, and the rest of, apart from Prince Charles, I couldn't see. But the rest of the family, came round and shook hands with us, which was great.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Now, how would you describe the atmosphere that was around you at the time?
Well, I have to say, despite the miserable weather, everybody was excited and everybody was enjoying themselves, really.
Now, obviously, we have a really big celebration this year in 2022. It's the big platinum jubilee.
Yes.
So I'm curious, are you planning on celebrating? Do you have anything planned for this weekend?
Well, sadly, I'm not volunteering for a local charity now, only the RNIB. I belong to a social club, and we have a jubilee party this week. And apart from that, I'm not participating in any local celebrations, but I'll be going to London on the 7th.
Oh, wow. Why are you going to London?
For RNIB's Jubilee celebration, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Are you looking forward to that?
Yes, of course. Yes.
It sounds like you're going to have quite a lovely weekend, even if you're not doing stuff locally. The Jubilee party sounds lovely, and I hope you have much nicer weather for your next trip to London.
I hope so. Yeah.
But in the meantime, Padma, it's been lovely speaking with you on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
ABBA and Dancing Queen on today's Happy Hour. So, Paulina, it's the Queen's Jubilee this weekend, and what are your plans?
I'm thinking of doing a cheeky barbecue, just so you know. Even if it rains, I don't care. That's the plan. A little bit of rain will be fine.
I can just imagine you sat out in the rain having a barbecue, just eating a burger.
I mean, you know what? I'm based up north, so we do get a lot of rain, and I have had barbecues in the rain before. It wouldn't be our first one.
I mean, that's just an experience in itself, isn't it? But my plans, I think We are seeing family. So on bank holidays, we always try to have some family time, which is always really nice. And I think as well, we might have a barbecue. Haven't decided if we're going to have one in the rain yet, but we'll see.
I mean, obviously, if you're listening and wondering what are they talking about, the weather is lovely, or oh gosh, it's raining, we're obviously talking about this before the Jubilee weekend because, like many people across the UK, we will have that long weekend off. So we're going to be enjoying it in the rain or not.
Yeah, we're going to make the most of it because we are workaholics and we are constantly doing something. So I think we need to make the most of this time off.
It'll be a bit of self-care time.
Yeah, and that's what we're all about here on the Happy Hour.
Get in touch with us if you want to share what your plans for the Jubilee weekend are, or where if you are listening to our one of the repeat shows. Just let us know what you did. We would love to hear.
You can email us, it's radio@rnib.org.uk. Now, we still have some tea chat coming up in this hour as Paulina hears from natural health expert Dr. Tim Bond. And we'll also have some food recommendations from Paralympian Laura Facchi. But if you are feeling a bit anxious, perhaps it's the idea of big gatherings or just life in general, we are joined now by someone that can help.
Hi everyone, I'm Sarah. I'm a clinical supervisor and designated safeguarding lead at Shout. Shout is a free, confidential, and anonymous text messaging service for anyone who's finding things difficult to cope with. We know that a lot of people struggle with anxiety, and I'm here today to try and suggest some top tips which might help you with managing anxiety on a day-to-day basis. So there's lots of things that we know can help. The first thing we would suggest is reaching out to your support network. So that might be maintaining regular contact with those around you, reaching out to people that you might have not spoken to for a while, but somebody that you know that you feel safe offloading to and talking to about what is making you feel anxious or overwhelmed or something that's on your mind. You might reach out to them by text, via a phone call, or asking to meet up with somebody. But using those people around you in a supportive way, but at the same time maintaining boundaries so you only share with them what you feel comfortable sharing. At the same time, on the flip side of that, if you need space from people around you, that's okay too. We know that finding a way to express how you feel and offload some of those difficulties can be really useful too. So that might mean going outside for a walk, doing some exercise, having a dance, perhaps doing something creative. These acts of self-care can really help us to feel more grounded when things feel overwhelming or we feel anxious. We know that something that can be really helpful is establishing a daily routine. So starting with a time of the day that you get up, a fairly set time for rising in the morning, followed by breakfast or some exercise, establishing those boundaries we talked about before with regards to when we reach out to people and when we need space. We can also set those clear boundaries around expectations in terms of work or routine. Trying to put something into your day that you look forward to can be really helpful in that as well. Some people find that setting time aside to listen to an audio book or spend some time reading, 10 minutes or an hour, whichever feels most comfortable, can be really useful too. As part of that daily routine, trying to build on our sleep routine. So not just having a set time to get up in the morning, but also having a wind down routine before going to bed and the set time that we go to bed, just trying to get ourselves into a rhythm can be really useful in managing some anxious thoughts and feelings that we experience. And we know that the use of caffeine can also feed into some of those anxious experiences. So trying to reduce caffeine intake, particularly in the latter part of the day, can be useful too. There's some smaller things we can do. We've talked through some larger steps we can take, but there also are some in the moment strategies we can use or distraction techniques to help us manage our anxiety. So some simple things we can use are watching a film, surfing the internet, watching TV, looking on YouTube. listening to our favourite music or perhaps playing an instrument, just taking time to focus our attention elsewhere. Things that we know that can have a positive impact on our own mental well-being. So things that you enjoy, that's always a good way to distract ourselves from anxiety. And we know that exercise can be hugely beneficial to how we feel. So sort of taking at least 10 minutes to raise our heart rate, that might be going for a walk outside, doing a workout, that can be really useful in increasing our mood and making ourselves feel slightly more positive about the day forwards. There's also strategies which we can use in terms of meditation or grounding exercises. And one particular grounding exercise which we would recommend is we use a grounding technique related to our senses. So we would ask you to connect with four things around yourself that you can feel. So reach out and touch things and describe to yourself out loud or internally about what those things feel like. And then three things you can hear. Pay attention to the things your mind has tuned into in that moment that you perhaps wouldn't already have noticed. So things like a clock ticking or people outside talking. You might hear sounds like the wind outside or the rain on the window. And then we can think of two things that we can smell. So try to notice the things that are around you. Maybe that's a drink you've just had, or you can smell flowers or grass that's just been cut. And then finally, one thing you can taste. So think about any flavours that you can recall from earlier in the day, something you might have eaten or something you might have drank. So that grounding technique is 4-3-2-1, and it's really useful in just connecting ourselves and bringing ourselves back to the present. So we also know that in those moments when we feel anxious, Shout, the service which I work for, is available 24/7. So like I said before, it's a free, confidential and anonymous text messaging service. All you need to do to access that service is text the word SHOUT, S-H-O-U-T, to the number 85258, any time of the day or night, to speak to one of our trained volunteers and have a private conversation via text message. We also have a website if you wanted to look into more information about SHOUT and the work that we do, and that's www.giveusashout.org.
Thanks, Sarah. And coming up on the Happy Hour and our Jubilee special, perhaps the most British thing ever as we chat tea. That's after Spandau Ballet, and we'll hear how having a good cup of tea can help us brave the world. These are my salad days, slowly being eaten away. Just another play for today. Oh, but I'm proud of you, but I'm proud of you. Nothing left to make me feel. You're listening to the Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio. As we celebrate the Platinum Jubilee across the UK this week, many of us will reach for one of Britain's favourite drinks. Now, we're of course talking about tea, but as we pour our cuppas this weekend, new research shows that a good cup of tea can help us face the world. So joining me today to talk all about those benefits of a hot cup of tea is Dr. Tim Bond from the Tea Advisory Panel. It is lovely speaking with you today, Dr. Bond.
Great, thank you very much, Paulina. Nice to be here.
So let's get right into it. Tea, the drink, can help us face and brave the world. That seems like a really big statement.
You're right. It is a big statement. But, you know, a lot of research has been done on tea and particularly black tea. And we know that black tea is the number one choice in the UK, with three quarters, about 74%, actually having 2 to 3 cups of black tea a day. And really, tea research has been going on for a very long time. And there's been some big advances really during Her Majesty's reign. So we can actually look at the antibacterial effects of tea, the natural fluoro content, which of course is good for dental health. And we actually know there's a large body of evidence that shows that sort of around 4 cups of tea a day. That can have a positive impact on lowering blood pressure, giving protection from stroke, weight management. It can reduce stress levels. It actually can reduce dementia risk and cognitive decline. So it's a big statement, but we can back it up with science.
So I am very curious about this. You said black tea is one of the most popular options here in the UK. Why do we love tea so much?
Tea is intimately linked with our history. And I think a lot of it goes back, you know, the empire days. And a lot of tea is actually grown in India, a lot in East Africa, where, of course, you know, they were allies in the Commonwealth. So we have this big link through the Commonwealth to tea drinking countries, to people that have chosen to make the UK their home. And it's just one of those things that's become comforting. And, you know, Tea Advisory Panel, we commissioned an independent review of over 1,000 people. And almost half those people actually said the morning cuppa helps them get going. And about a third of them say drinking tea gives them the energy to actually do their job and get on with life. So it's integral, I think, to our psyches in this country.
And the nice thing about tea is, I think often we have this debate, should you have a cup of coffee or should you have a cup of tea in the morning? And I feel like with coffee, if you drink too much of it, it might disturb your sleep pattern or you might struggle with your energy. Whilst I think, does tea affect us in the same way or is it very different?
I mean, tea has about half the caffeine of a cup of coffee. Tea also has a unique amino acid, which was discovered in sort of the 60s. It's an amino acid called L-theanine. It's pretty much, tea is the only source of this in the UK diet. And really sort of it's this unique combination of caffeine and L-theanine that actually allows us to actually be energized, but not over-energized. You know, drinking tea is not going to actually interfere with your sleep patterns. We've seen that actually drinking tea can actually help with relaxation and it can also help with focus.
So lots of benefits there. Now, is that all just for black tea or are these benefits going to change depending on what type of tea you're having? Because obviously we have green tea, we have herbal teas, fruit teas, all sorts.
We do. There is a plethora of teas. We would term them as sort of tea would be tea from the camellia bush, Camellia sinensis, which is where you get black tea, green tea, oolong teas. Right? They're all from the same bush. They're just different in the way they're processed. And then we would call the other products probably infusions. So they would be herbal and botanicals that are sort of drunk as sort of teas, but aren't actually from the tea bush. So we've got tea and infusions. There are benefits to infusions. You know, we've got things like hibiscus can help with blood pressure. We can have rooibos can actually help with sort of reducing risk for diabetes. Also chamomile, obviously, we know for relaxation. The most evidence there is, and that's really just where the research focused their efforts. The most research is actually in black and green tea. So what we actually find is a lot of the benefits will come from this group of chemicals that we call flavonoids. I mean, basically, a flavonoid is just a certain chemical structure, and this chemical structure is common. In the 1960s, we found amino acids in tea, L-theanine. In sort of the 60s as well, the structures were found of sort of some of the black tea pigments, something called theorubigins. Now, theorubigins are the brown color in tea. But we now know that theorubigins are actually the richest source of health-promoting flavonoids in the UK diet. So green tea, black tea, they have the same building blocks and the same core chemical structure on which many of the health benefits are based.
Oh, wow. So that's so much scientific research just going into our tea. But so I guess I'm going to follow it with a slightly, not a scientific question, but one that's quite controversial. Is there a correct way of drinking black tea? Because, I mean, many of us will be having that nice cup over the Jubilee weekend. So I guess we would like to know how we should drink it and whether we're going to lose any of the benefits if we drink it the wrong way.
No, it's a great question, actually. To get the benefits, which is both taste and health, we need to obviously brew the tea and allow those compounds to actually get into the brew so they can then get into us. Everyone has their favorite tea. So if it's black tea, we would basically say only use as much water as you need for a cup. If you're boiling, you know, 3, 4, 5 cups of tea worth of water, you're obviously wasting a lot of electricity. So there's a sustainable element. There's also a cost of living element in there. So only boil the amount of water you need. Draw it freshly from the tap. Only boil it once. If you boil it more than once, you drive off a lot of the oxygen and you get quite a flat cup. Add your loose leaf tea or your tea bags. Add the boiling water to that. Leave it 3, 4, 5 minutes. I like 5 minutes. It's not overly strong. The longer you let it brew, the more health-promoting compounds can get into the brew. And then if you want to add milk and sugar afterwards, once you've taken the tea bag out, you can add your splash of milk, which of course gives you some extra calcium, which is good for bone health. There's been some questions and arguments over the years as to whether if you add milk, you lose any of the benefits from the tea. You don't. Tea will actually hydrate you, and really, really important, even low levels of hydration can make us feel drowsy and our concentration can lapse. But one of the really big things that's come up really recently is really looking at gut health. And we know that gut health is linked to immune health. It's also linked to cognitive performance. And black tea is what we would term a prebiotic. So it actually is broken down and actually has beneficial impacts on the gut. So from the cup to the gut, black tea is supporting our health.
Oh, there we go. I'm probably going to have to rethink some of the methods I have for making my own cup. I don't think I brew it long enough. But you've given us so many interesting facts today about tea, Dr. Bond. So is there anywhere we can go to find out a little bit more?
Absolutely. I mean, the Tea Advisory Panel, we have a website, www.teaadvisorypanel.com. And on there, you'll find all of the data that we've put together, the scientific literature, and bring to this forum actually all the good benefits that tea can deliver.
Dr. Tim Bond, thank you so much for speaking with us today and for sharing your tea expertise with us. It's been very enlightening.
It's my pleasure. I wish everyone a happy Jubilee, and please enjoy your tea.
Martha and the Vandellas continuing our Jubilee celebrations on RNIB Connect Radio. And of course, it's on today's happy hour. Now, Barry Snell chats to Paralympian and food blogger Laura Fackey, MBE, about her tips for preparing great party food.
With the Queen's Jubilee just around the corner, Laura Fackey, MBE, joins me now. Laura, of course, is a decorated Paralympian, already recognised by royalty with the MBE, and so much so she's been invited back down to take part in the Jubilee celebrations. Her other big passion is cooking, and we're going to talk about some of the things that you might like to cook to take part in the upcoming celebrations. Thanks for joining me, Laura.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back on.
And I hear congratulations are in order.
Yeah, we're expecting our first child in early November, and yeah, we're very excited.
Congratulations from everyone at RNIB Connect Radio. That's brilliant news.
Thank you.
So the Queen's been recognised for 70 years on the throne. What does the Queen mean to you? Obviously, you were recognised with the MBE. What does the Queen mean to you, Laura?
I just think she's an incredible woman. I don't think I really, as a growing up, kind of appreciated what she did. But, you know, since I've started racing for my country, and when I get to stand on the podium and we play the national anthem, and you do get this, like, you know, feeling of national pride, and she is the head of that. And I just think she brings this nation together, and she's an incredibly strong woman, and she's quite inspirational, really.
Now, many people will be celebrating up and down the country, and a few people will be looking for food tips. What's Jubilee food for you, Laura?
I mean, I do think of afternoon tea. You could push it out. You could have some little pork pies, sausage rolls. You can kind of put on a little bit of a afternoon tea spread between you all. You could all make different sandwiches, like one of you could bring egg mayonnaise and another could bring cheese and pickle. You've got ham and mustard, cream cheese and cucumber, and then for the vegetarians and that, you could mix it up a bit, hummus and roast veg for a little bit of a twist. Even if you're feeling brave a bit, make a potato salad, which, you know, all you need to really do for that is boil some little new potatoes for about 15 minutes and then mix it with some yogurt or mayonnaise. You could chop up some bacon and stir that through, some onions. You know, it's a time to kind of have fun and really celebrate. So have things that you wouldn't necessarily treat yourself to on a day-to-day basis. And again, going down the afternoon tea, British, I always think of a scone. I don't know about your listeners. I love a scone, especially a homemade one. And my nan used to make the best scones. And unfortunately, her recipe went with her to the grave. So I've never been able to replicate them. And then there's like other British things I think of. I'm a sweet tooth kind of girl. So like a Victoria sponge, again, very British, jam and buttercream. And you can get, you know, we can make, even make a trifle. I haven't made one for a while, but I know there's lots of recipes out there. I know what one of my favourite kind of resources for healthy and easy recipes is the BBC Good Food website. It's fairly accessible as well. And that has some brilliant, brilliant recipe suggestions. So, yeah, there's lots you can do. And again, if you can't, you know, if you don't feel comfortable in making things yourself, there's a lot of options in the supermarket that's still quite healthy and interesting. And there's definitely plenty of choices out there. And just go out, you know, what you would normally do on a day-to-day basis and give yourself the opportunity to have a bit of fun.
And you've given us some tips on how we can stuff our faces. What about drinks-wise? What should we be drinking?
Oh, well, for those of us who like a little tipple, and you know, your classic is your Pimm's, you can really kind of have fun with lots of different fruits, put them in a jug and mix it all together. For the non-drinkers or the younger ones in the party, there's always like lemonade. That to me, I always think of as a child, a cold glass of lemonade. And then obviously, like, you know, what's more British than Robinson's squash?
Laura, you lost your sight when you were 5. You have some light perception, but you run your own food blog, Blindingly Good Food, and you run a Zoom class where people can come on and you can help with recipes. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, please?
Yes. So it's a monthly thing. We do a cook along where there's a group of around 6 of us at the moment, 6 or 7, but we're always looking for more people if you're interested in coming along. So we tend to join once a month, and I set us a nice and easy recipe that just uses one pan, and it's all simple ingredients that you can easily get from the supermarket. And I send out the ingredients a week in advance, so it gives you plenty of time to plan and organise. You can either cook along with me and I'll talk you through the recipe and talk you through what I'm doing and how I'm, you know, managing in the kitchen when I can't see. Or you can listen, and then I send out a recipe with easy to follow steps. You can make it after the session, because I know sometimes when I've tried to follow other cooking demonstrations, I'm a lot slower than sighted people, so I struggle to keep up. So it's quite nice to have that option to just listen in, get some tips and ask questions, and then you can make it in your own time when you don't feel pressured to keep up.
Now, as I said at the start, you are invited down for these celebrations.
Yeah, myself and my pilot, who I raced in Tokyo with, will hopefully be riding the tandem. We're not quite sure yet. We'll have to wait and see, especially with me having a much larger stomach than I last did when I was on the tandem. And my pilot has actually, since Tokyo, has undergone 2 major knee surgeries. So she's still not rehab back from the injuries. So yeah, we're hoping that it'll all go to plan.
Well, Laura, it's been excellent talking to you. Thanks very much for sharing those tips. If anyone wants to get in touch, once again, what's your blog?
It's Blindingly Good Food, which has got the website, but you can also email me directly at Laura, which is Laura, at blindinglygoodfood.co.uk. And if you've got any questions, yeah, just send them my way, and I'm more than happy to chat and help whenever I can.
Laura, enjoy the celebrations when they come along. In the meantime, thanks very much for your time on RNIB Connect Radio, and look forward to speaking to you in the near future.
No worries.
Paralympic cyclist Laura Fackie and our Barry Snell. So Laura spoke about some inspiration for party food for this weekend. But what I want to know, Paulina, is what's your favourite party food?
Pizza. I don't think it's appropriate for the Jubilee, though.
from another country.
But yeah. Yeah, I do love pizza. But yeah, I don't know. I think we're both going to have barbecues in the rain. I like the idea of an afternoon tea, and I actually just had an afternoon tea. So can it count as a celebration just like a week early?
Yeah, that can count. I mean, you know, celebrations all around. Why not?
The one thing I've never had, and she mentioned it, which was the trifle. And I feel like we'll see a lot of people making the trifle because I think that was the dessert that won the big baking competition for the Platinum Jubilee.
Yeah, I think it was actually. Now, funny story for you about trifle.
Oh, tell me.
It's a bit of a family tradition at Christmas. I know we're talking about the Jubilee, but at Christmas, my family always have trifle. And I never really wanted it and kind of thought, oh, trifle, I don't think I like that. But last year I tried it at Christmas and you know what? I actually really liked it. So I feel like I've missed out now for all them years. So I think maybe I might have some trifle this weekend because I've got to get in the spirit, haven't I? Make up for those lost times.
I can't believe you spent years not having a trifle because you thought you don't like it.
I know. Why am I so weird? Also, why am I so fussy?
So the recommendation is the trifle this year, I think, was a lemon trifle with, was there some meringue, chocolate shards? Am I thinking right? It looked amazing. I think the recipe's online, so I'm sure lots of people will be trying it. I think I might try it as well because it looked delicious. So good luck to all of us baking this weekend.
Yeah, good luck there. I haven't decided if I'm going to brave some baking, but if I do, then we shall see what I decide to bake or how it turns out.
Yeah, so pray for us if you're listening or if you have any tips for baking or making celebratory food for any party, even after the Jubilee. I mean, we're going into summer. Just drop us a line, radio@rnib.org.uk.
Well, on that note, here's Greatest Day from Pop Legends, Take That.
Today this could be the greatest day.
And that is it for today's happy hour and our Jubilee special. Hope you enjoyed the show as much as myself and Paulina enjoyed keeping you company throughout this hour. If there's anything you'd like to hear again, such as that tea interview or our conversation with Paralympic legend Laura Fackey, you can always listen to them again on the Happy Hour podcast.
Just search for RNIB, a Happy Hour podcast online, subscribe and never miss an episode.
Now it's time for today's music therapy moment, and what better way than to end today's Platinum Jubilee special than with one of Her Majesty the Queen's favourite songs.
Yes, we have this lovely classic here from Fred Astaire.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to tune into RNIB Connect Radio at the same time next week for more uplifting content. Heaven.
You are listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour long show. If you've enjoyed the songs and would like to hear them in full, along with all the interviews, tips and chat, just catch the full show on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on every Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. But for now, thank you for listening to the Happy Hour podcast.
Seem to vanish like a gambler's lucky star.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.